I want to talk today about frequency and the frequency of faith. Frequency of faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, the frequency of faith. I am so not a technical person, an electronics person or anything like that, but I have done a little bit of a deep dive this week. That's because I really felt like God wanted me to share this particular message. Now, I don't know if you've heard this particular rumor that at the plaza, to avoid loitering teenagers, a frequency is emitted out that actually people over 21 can't hear, but those under 21 can hear, and it's on a particular level of frequency, and it actually drives them crazy. Who's heard that rumor? Who's experienced that? Yeah, well, okay, all right. So, Leo, you've experienced that. That's awesome. So, I've checked it out, and it's a thing. It's an actual thing. In fact, I asked my daughter, I downloaded this tone generator app that has all the different frequencies on it, and I played it to her this morning. Like, she didn't appreciate it because she came when she got out of bed, and she's like, "Oh," I'm like, "Can you hear this?" And I'm like, "Yes, I can hear it. You can hear it." And then, like, "Can you hear this?" He goes, "Yes, it's annoying." I'm like, "I can't even hear it. What's going on?" Higher frequency. So I just thought I'd do a little test right now. Turn your hearing aid off, or I don't know what happens. But I don't know if that works. Who can hear that? All right. Okay, what about? Who can hear that? All right, I'm not going to go too long. Hear that? I can't hear that. Who can hear that? Kyle, give it a break. I believe you, Kyle. I believe you. Great hearing. Hannah, when he says, "I didn't hear you, honey," he was totally hearing you. He was 100% hearing everything you were saying. Just if he doesn't hear you, just lift your pitch a little higher. Go, "Kyle, come over here." Really? Sorry. These guys are newlyweds. Just I'm a bit of marriage counseling as we go, just helping out. So it's a thing. I'm sorry, guys. I hope I didn't hurt your ears at all, but it's a thing at a number of different shopping centres on the coast. Frequency. Frequency is measured in hertz, and sometimes it does. It hurts, right? So frequency, so if I was to play a bass note, it would, the reverberation of the bass note would be about 200 hertz. It would be really low. It's actually, I think it's about, what have we got here? I'll get the 20 hertz, all right? But then that's 80 hertz. If I was to play a flute sound, really high-pitched flute sound, it could get up to 2,000 hertz. And it's the speed of the frequency, like the airwave, the wobble airwave. It's not decibels, it's not loudness, it's the frequency. And so again, I've never had any idea how a radio works, but a radio works like this. Someone speaks, it gets converted at the frequency level, it's called modulation. So the FM radio is frequency modulation, FM. I'm nerding out on you right now, aren't I? All right. Frequency modulation, all right? And then it's sent through the airwaves to your radio or whatever it might be, old school, I know, and there's a transmitter inside of it that then receives it and reconverts it back to actually the sound. And that's why. Now, this is at millions of hertz. Not that, it's at a level that no one can hear unless you tune into that exact same frequency. Make sense? Yes. All right. I'm getting texts on my phone. It's always a risk to have it. Thank you, David Crowder. Stop it. I'll call you out. Now, dogs can hear at a way higher, like triple the frequency of teenagers. There's an actual dog whistle that they can hear and they can receive. And so this is an interesting reality. So here's the thing. Right now, there are in this room a whole lot of frequency waves that are being sent that if you had the right device, you could tune in and hear it. You could tune in to 106.5. You could tune into a whole lot of different radio stations. I set my alarm in the morning like this. I actually have my alarm not to a radio station, but just a white noise. because I like to wake up to white noise, right? Just it helps me. And this little in the background wakes me up. But then if I take my alarm somewhere else, sometimes it tunes into their frequency. It's an actual radio station. I'm like, no, I don't want, right? I just, anyway, this fun fact about it. So there's frequencies and it's going all the time. We once got a new hands-free phone. This is back in the day when you had phones at your home. And we had a hands-free phone, and so you could walk around with it, and it was connected through a frequency. But what we didn't realize is you could connect into the neighbor's phone frequency. And literally one night, Danielle and I pick up the phone, and it's one of the neighbors having a conversation. And we're like, oh, we need to put this down. But then suddenly it was an inappropriate conversation with somebody they shouldn't be having the conversation. We're like, quick, hang up. But no, look, hang up. No, we hung up really quick. It's like Days of Our Lives was happening. Now, we didn't know which house it was in our area, but we tuned in to the frequency. Oh, come on, be careful what you say. Your digital footprint is real. It never goes away. So I want to suggest an idea to you this morning that there is a frequency of hearing the voice of God. That God speaks to us all the time, that he wants to speak to us. In fact, the primary way that we begin a relationship with God, the Bible calls it being born again, and that we become spiritually brand new. We put our faith in Jesus Christ. We believe him for the forgiveness of our sins because he died on the cross for our sin. And when we put our faith in Christ, we're what the Bible calls born again. We become spiritually brand new. We have a new spirit, same body, new spirit. And that new spirit is actually a frequency connected to the voice of God. And now you can have an ongoing relationship and you can hear God speak to you on a regular basis. That's his desire for every human being, that we're in a relationship with him. His desire is to speak and pour love and encouragement and guidance and wisdom and to shape our life. And we tune into that by getting the receiver, which is our spirit with God. But here's the thing, sometimes we can lose the frequency of God's voice and particularly the frequency of faith. And I want to have a little look at a story in the Bible, in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 13, where God's people are about to, they've come out of Egypt, they've been delivered from Egypt, they were once slaves, God's done miracle after miracle, they get to the edge of the land that God promised them, the land of Canaan, they're about to go in, and we pick that story up here in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1, and the Lord now said to Moses, send out men to explore the land of Canaan. The land I'm giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes. So he chooses them out, a whole 12 of them. One of them's Caleb. He's from the tribe of Judah, which means praise. One's Joshua. He's from the tribe of Ephraim, which means fruitfulness or double portion. And these are two of the 12 spies. And we pick it up in verse 27. They went, they checked it all out. They saw a whole lot of different stuff and they brought back their report, verse 27. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and indeed, it's a bountiful country, a little like the Sunshine Coast, Tarmody, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. That's the next verse. But the people, and so they actually literally brought back these massive grapes on their shoulders. But the people, there's a but here, living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there. The descendants of Anak. Next verse. And so they described everybody they ran into. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites. If they came to Australia, it'd be the Vegemites, and the Shilbirites, but that's another story. The Canaanites, live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. All right, so there's heaps of armies, giants, they're intimidating. So they're giving this report. The land's amazing, the fruit's awesome, it's milk and honey, but there's lots of giants. All factual. In fact, that's all they were asked to do, come back and give a factual report. But now they go into their interpretation of this report. Next verse. I think I'm going to go back to... Oh no, they've said, okay, we can't do it. We can't take it. So Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once and take the land. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. All right, now we're interpreting. They said to all the people of Israel. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. Next verse. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. And next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. Okay, so now they're not only giving a report of the facts about how awesome the land is and the facts that there's giants, now they're interpreting it, and now they've become mind readers. Now they're like, okay, we were so intimidated by their size, we started to think we're like grasshoppers. And when we started to think we're like grasshoppers, now we've got some inferiority going on. When we think we're like grasshoppers, we think that they think we're like grasshoppers. Inferiority is one of the major things that will stop you receiving the promises that God has for your life. The way you see God and the way you see yourself matters. And these guys had come out of slavery and they saw themselves as slaves and victims, and rather than getting to the promised land and seeing that actually all the things that God had done for them so far he could do again, they, rather than looking at possibilities, all they could see was problems, and all they could see was their own poor self-image. And it opened them up to fear. But Joshua, I love this, and Caleb, let's go down to verse chapter 14, the next verse, 6-9. Two of the men who explored the land, Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, tore their clothing. Because basically this, what they went on and said is, why'd you bring us out here to kill you? Let's choose a new leader. Let's go back to Egypt. So fear has overtaken their mind now. We don't want to die at the hands of giants. And so they make all these crazy statements. And two of the men who explored the land, Joshua and Caleb, tore their clothing. They're grieved at the people's lack of belief, the lack of faith. And they said to all the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into the land and he will give it to us. It's a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Don't rebel against the Lord and don't be afraid of the people of this land. They're just hopeless prey for us. Yeah. Another version says they're bread for us. Guys, 10 of you think that they're so intimidating they're going to kill us, and 2 of you think they're bread for you. They're breakfast. Right. Who's right? Interesting. All right, let's go on. They've got no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. I want us to think about the difference between the 10 and the 2. The 10 and the 2. There's all of them are leaders. All of them were chosen as the leaders of their tribe. But somehow, 2 of them are on a different frequency. 2 of them are hearing a different message. 10 of them are seeing this. They're all seeing same facts. Awesome fruit, amazing watermelons, ginormous grapes, it's incredible. Honey, bees, grass, cows, it's like a butcher's favorite destination. Come on, I'm just talking to someone, just to me actually. So it's amazing. But there's giants and there's armies and they're intimidating. So they all see exactly the same thing, but two of them have got a frequency of faith. A frequency that does some things. And I really want to talk to us this morning because I feel like, and I constantly feel like this, faith leaks. Yes. Yeah. Faith leaks out of our lives. And God, he's got promises for you. He's got answers for you. Daniel referred to it earlier, but Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have life in abundance. The thief wants to rob and destroy. And so you find when Jesus hung around, those who had faith, those who were tuned into the frequency of faith got miracles. They got answered prayers. There's a moment when Jesus is actually in a house and he's preaching and teaching. The Bible says in Luke 5, the power of God was present to heal. So there's a frequency of healing. And there's a whole lot of Pharisees who are sitting there totally not dialed into that frequency. They're dialed into the judgmental, critical, negative frequency. And I'm guaranteeing you, some of them had sicknesses. Some of them need healing, but they didn't receive it because they were tuned into complaining, negativity, rather than, oh, what's Jesus going to do in this moment? Somebody who's got a frequency of faith brings their friend along, lowers them through the roof, and they get a miracle. Now, same Jesus, same room, same atmosphere, same anointing, but the ability to receive the miracle and take the steps of faith to receive the miracle was different because some guys, they're tuned in to a frequency of faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's preaching to me right now. Come on online, just you can put something in the chat. He's preaching to me right now. So let's just have a little reflect and think about this. Then how did Joshua and Caleb become guys tuned into the frequency of faith compared to everybody else? Because actually, if you think about it, they all went through, they saw the same miracles. They saw the 10 plagues. They were these guys were all the leaders of the tribes. They would have been summoned as the elders before Moses when there was all of, you know, if you've seen the Prince of Egypt, there's all the Nile turned to blood. There was so many amazing, undeniable miracles where God was saying, I'm a miracle worker and I'm on your side. They all saw the same 10 plagues. They all witnessed the escape with the gold and the silver from the Egyptians, and they all walked out into the desert. They all saw the moment where Moses held out his rod and the sea opened up and they walked through it. They all saw the moment where Moses struck the rock and water came out of the rock. They all saw the moment where they needed meat and Kentucky Fried Quail just began to fly over and drop out of the sky. They all saw those moments. But only two of them tuned in to the moment. Is that what you needed, Josh, for KFC today? That's what it was, sorry. Our exec pastor, if I mention KFC, it's a guaranteed KFC for lunch every Sunday. So you're welcome, God bless you. I think we might too, come on, let's go. So, that's quite distracting, all right. They all saw that. But 10 of them stayed down at this level of negativity. They weren't possibility thinking. They were stinking thinking. They saw the future through their own individual ability rather than God's ability. They saw the future just through pure logic rather than possibilities of what God could do. But Joshua and Caleb, they had two different insights because they were tuned to a different frequency. I want to give you two thoughts as to why these guys were tuned to a different frequency. If we go back a little bit earlier, we find the first time that Joshua is mentioned, he becomes Moses' servant and he fights battles for Moses. And actually, when Moses goes up the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, Joshua goes up with him. So in Exodus 33, verse 11, have a look at this. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face. Oh my gosh, as one speaks to a friend. Come on. That's the glory of God. That's what I want to see for us. I want that encounter with the fullness of God, the glory of God, the voice of God. That's what revival looks like for me when we have a hunger and we want to see Jesus. I love that. And so after Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, that doesn't mean he's a Catholic. I know some of you are asking that. That wouldn't even make any sense, would it? Anyway, so Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. Moses encounters God face to face. Joshua's in the presence of God and experiences the presence of God. Moses leaves because he's got work to do, and Joshua remains in the presence. I would suggest to you that the way that Joshua learned to tune into the frequency of possibility, the frequency of the God of the impossible, is that he loved the presence of God. He loved to be in the presence of God. He loved to be standing in the shadow under God's presence. And he'd learned to tune his heart to God. Check this out, Psalm 125, verse 4. O Lord, do good to those who are good, whose hearts are in tune with you. Getting into the frequency of hearing the voice of God, which is so God's voice. So many people think they got the wrong idea. They think God's voice is negative, judgmental, legalistic, demeaning, harsh. That's the other guy. That's totally the wrong frequency. God's voice is one of love. I love when Seth shared his story and he prayed a prayer of salvation. He talks about experiencing God's love, the presence of God. That's the God we serve, the creator of the world. His voice, he's kind, he's loving, he's firm. Now, he's holy, absolutely. But his voice is amazing. And so here's what David talks about. Do good to those who are good, whose hearts are in tune. So when you love the presence of God, you learn to tune into his voice. And it doesn't happen in a moment. It happens by just going, I think of it like this. I need to sometimes, because of all, my mind is so active and stuff's going on. And God doesn't speak to my mind primarily. He speaks to my spirit and my heart. And so what I've got to do is I've got to recalibrate so that this gets louder than this. This gets louder than this. And the way you do that is through being in the presence of God. We come in and this is why Sundays are so easily my favorite day of the week. Because I love coming in with you guys morning and night and just worshiping God. When I'm tired or don't feel like it, I choose. I'm going to worship God because I want to tune my heart to God. And when you tune your heart to God, you're able to hear his whispers, and his whispers are always full of possibilities. Or see, I had an experience just in the last couple of weeks where I'd heard some news and it was triggering me, okay? It was annoying me. I was getting jittery and I couldn't find a way forward. I wasn't tuned into the frequency of faith. And so literally just yesterday, as I get up and I'm seeking God, I'm reading his word, I'm in his presence, I just had a flash of a particular moment that gave me clarity of what the future would look like. And out of that, it's like, oh God, I see it. I could immediately feel like there's a higher way in this. I've got to get up to the higher way. I've got to get up to your thinking. That's why the Bible says his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so to get into his presence, part of it is I love the language, tuning my heart. I'm tuning my heart. I'm tuning my heart. I'm surrendering my will. I'm laying my will down and saying, God, I love you and I want you to speak to me. Joshua was a man of the presence of God and he was tuned into the plans of God, and it meant under pressure he could go to faith. So that would be one observation. The second one would be, and I'll get a keyboardist to come up. Second one would be this about Caleb. We actually don't hear a lot about Caleb before. The first time we hear about Caleb, he's chosen as the leader of the tribe of Judah and sent in to spy out the land. So we don't hear a lot about him. But what we do hear is he gives a report. And basically God says, you two guys, because of your faith, will one day, you will see the promised land. Everybody else with a negative report, they're going to die out in the wilderness. But you guys, and Caleb was 40 at the time. And so 45 years later, when they're in the promised land, they've had miracle after miracle. A whole generation of unbelievers had died in unbelief in the wilderness. Caleb comes, and we read it in Joshua 14, verse 6 and 9. Now he's 85. This is for everybody who's over the age of, I'll say 53, because that includes me. I've changed. I used to say everybody older than me, but now I'm in the mature phase of my life. I know, that was a big moment for me, church. Thank you for praying. I appreciate that. A delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb said to Joshua, remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God. He's been dead for almost 40 years. Oh, no, not long. He led them in the wilderness a few years now. The man of God, about you and me when we were at Kadesh Barnea. So on that day, Moses solemnly promised me the land of Canaan on which you were just walking. So he's talking now about when you spied out the land, will be your grant of land and that of your descendants forever because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. Now, this is what I love about Caleb. So Joshua's obviously a warrior and someone who loves the presence of God. He's a worshiping warrior. Caleb's got some feistiness about him. And Caleb at 85 goes, hey, just want to remind you, bro, Joshua, our leader, what God promised me through Moses. This is what God promised me. I've been thinking about this promise while all of those unbelieving nonnies have been wiped out in the wilderness. While I've been having sand in my sandwich for a long time, I've been thinking about the promise that God gave to me through his servant Moses, and that's that one day I'm going to have land and my kids are going to have that land. And he went on, he said, I want the mountains. Give me the mountains. Give me the springs. And there's a whole other story about Caleb at 85 having a spirit of faith. And the spirit of faith. These would be the two things I'd say about Joshua. They loved the presence of God and they remembered the promises of God. Even though there was delay after delay after delay. You've heard me say this before, church, lots of times. But delay is not denial. Just because something hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not the promise of God. And so the Joshua and the Caleb generation, those tuned into the frequency of faith, are those who love the presence of God and who remember the promises, and they stamp their feet and they go, I was promised this by God. He gave me this scripture. He said my children will be in the house of God. My prodigals are coming back. I don't know when, but I know they're coming back. I know that he's promised me a house. He's promised salvation. He's promised me restoration. He's promised me healing. I know he's promised me. And so I'm going to keep worshiping. That keeps my spirit soft. And I'm going to keep believing the promise that keeps my heart strong. And I'm going to tune into the frequency of faith. Can we stand to our feet right now? Father, we just thank you right now. We want to be a people who are tuned to the all things are possible God. Lord, we want to be people who know what it is to face the facts. Not pretend it's hard, that it's not hard. In fact, in the natural, there's things that people in this room right now watching online are facing that are in the natural without God impossible. The doctors said one thing. The bank said something. An accountant said something. A family member said something. And in the natural, it looks impossible. But Lord, today, we remember your promises. And we choose to stand in your presence and worship you. Let us be like Joshua. People who love your presence. Come on, if you need just a frequency tune-up right now to the frequency of faith because you're facing some circumstances that are a little overwhelming, just lift your hands to heaven. Come on, let this be your moment of tuning in. Tune in. Tune in to the promise. Tune in to the voice of God. He's speaking. Tune in right now. Oh, there's the presence of God. There's the Holy Spirit. Let him whisper to you. Let him whisper to you. Let him whisper to you. All things are possible. All things are possible. God's got you. I love this hearing just recently from Sam and Beck Rogers, who for 10 years ago, put on their goal list to buy a house. And in the last a couple of months through a whole variety of circumstances and God's hand have just signed a contract for their first house. I love hearing that, those moments. And that's where we tune into the all things are possible God, no matter what's going on right now. Come on. We love you, Jesus. We love your presence. We love your presence. We love your presence. In a moment, I'm just going to pray for some people for healing. But before we do, can we just put out...